Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles up to the book of Galatians, or as Brother Charles Tucker used to say, Galatians. So all you gals, open to the book of Galatians. I guess I never read the book of Galatians, so I guess this is for all of us, though. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that you are faithful and that you are good. And I thank you, Father, for this word that you have put in my heart to share with your people today. I pray right now for every person under the sound of my voice that you would give to each one of us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. May these words and these truths come alive to our hearts. And Father, I thank you that by the help of the Holy Spirit, I'll be able to present them in a way, Lord, where they will come alive in the hearts of every person hearing. And we thank you, Lord, we purpose right now not just to be hearers of the word either, but doers of the word in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And welcome to those of you who are joining us live streaming on YouTube. We'll get into the book of Galatians here. Galatians 3 and verse number 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. What if I started out my message and said, oh, foolish people of City on a Hill Church? I don't know if I could get away with that or not, but Paul did, writing to the Galatians. He said, oh, foolish Galatians. Well, why were they foolish? We're about to find out why he called them foolish, okay? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn. Now he's not talking about they were not there at the crucifixion. But they had heard Paul preach the gospel and demonstrate the power of God, and they saw and they heard and they saw and they understood Jesus is alive. Jesus is crucified and risen. Amen. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun, notice that next phrase, how? How did they begin? In the Spirit. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? That's why they were being foolish. That's why Paul was frustrated with them and said, you're being foolish because you started out in the Spirit, but now you're trying to be perfect in the flesh. What had happened? Well, again, Paul had come and had preached the gospel to them. They had believed the gospel message and they had received Jesus. They'd been born again. God was working miracles among them, as we're going to read in a moment here. And then some folks came from Jerusalem, and these were Jewish people that had believed on Jesus, but they had a wrong conception. They thought everybody that has believed on Jesus, Jew or Gentile, you've got to keep the law and you've got to be circumcised in order to be truly saved. And so they came along and they said, no, you're not doing this right. It's not so easy as just hearing and believing and acting on that. You've got to get circumcised now. You got any sharp knives around? And you've got to keep the law. You've got to do all these things. And so they said, oh, okay. They didn't know any better. They said, oh, okay. And so now they're trying to keep all the Old Testament ceremony, all the Old Testament law, get circumcised. And Paul said, no, 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 no. No. Everything in the Old Testament was leading up to what you already got. You're trying to go back now. Don't go back. He said, you began in the Spirit. So the Christian life has been designed by God to be lived in the Spirit. Well, what does that mean exactly, to live in the Spirit? Well, you know, we have some strange ideas about what that means, to be in the Spirit. Remember when you were in high school and there was a ball game going on and the cheerleaders started, we got Spirit. Yes, we do. We got Spirit. How about you? And the other side started, you know, the cheerleaders on the other team, the other side of the stands, they said, we got Spirit. Yes, we do. We got Spirit. How about you? Y'all looking at me like you've never heard this. Come on. How many of you know that cheer and that you experienced that? Some of y'all didn't go to school. All right. And then, you know, it goes back and forth. And finally, one of them breaks through and says, "We got more. We got more." So is that what it means? We got spirit. Is that what it means? Does it mean to cheer and clap your hands? And then you bring it over. And then that was on Friday night at the ball game. And then Sunday you go to church and somebody shouts or cries. And you say, well, they got in the spirit. Usually it happened on Thursday night of their 1 week of revival in the church I grew up in. We had a shouting and a crying service. And so we were in the spirit that day. Now, I don't disagree that when you do touch the Spirit of God and He touches you, I don't disagree that it can affect and does affect your emotions, and that's all right and good. But is that all there is? What does it mean to live in the Spirit? Well, we're going to talk about that today and next Sunday. In fact, I taught along these lines on Wednesday night and back a couple of months ago, and I just felt impressed as I was praying about today's service that I should go back and cover some of these things again, because, of course, a lot of you aren't able to be here on Wednesday night. And so anyway, and so I really felt impressed by the Lord to cover this on Sunday for today and next Sunday. So let's look at Galatians 3:5 now. Go down to verse 5. So Paul says, you begin in the Spirit. And then he says this in verse 5. He says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. So God was saying to those Galatian believers, God is supplying the Holy Spirit to you. And as a result of that, He's working miracles among you. And Paul's asking them a rhetorical question. Does He do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Does God work in your midst? Does He supply the Spirit to you because you're keeping the law or because you believed the gospel message when you heard it? And we know the answer is the latter. When they heard the gospel and believed it, He supplies the Spirit to us and He works miracles among us. How? Not by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So God supplies the Spirit to us. So we're to live out of that supply of the Spirit. And how does He supply it to us? Again, He does it by the hearing of faith. What's the supply chain for us to have that supply of the Spirit? It's the hearing of faith. So we cannot separate life in the Spirit from living and walking by faith. That's why faith is so important, because it's through faith that we access the Spirit. Amen. Right. Amen. And then he says this, and still writing to the Galatians as we skip on down to chapter 5, and verse 25, and this is in the New Living Translation, he says, since we are living by the Spirit, which we are, that's the way that our Christian life was designed to be lived, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So it's not just for Thursday night of revival once a year. We're to follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. And by and large, most of the church, most Christians, we tap into only a very little of this life in the Spirit that God has blessed us and invited us to live in. There's so much more to it. Amen. That He wants us to experience. He wants us to follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Amen. Amen. Yes. Praise God. So let's go back and talk about this. Number one is this. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, having begun in the Spirit. So we begin in the Spirit. What does that mean? It means we're born of the Spirit. That's the first thing. When you received Jesus, you were born of the Spirit. Look at what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You know, Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, came to Jesus by night and he said, you know, there's something about you. You know, I know that you're a teacher sent from God. Nobody can do the things you do unless God is with you. I believe you're genuine, you're real. And he said, but some of this stuff I just don't understand. And Jesus began to talk to him. In verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blow, Nicodemus, he couldn't grasp that. He said, how can I enter into my mother's womb a second time and be born? Jesus said, no, I'm not talking about a natural birth or rebirth. I'm talking about a spiritual rebirth. Amen. So he said, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Amen. So say this, say, I am born of the Spirit. Amen. That's how this started out for you. Your life in the Spirit began when you were born again, when you were saved, because at that moment you were born of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. So our Christian life starts out in the Spirit or of the Spirit. So, and to be saved means to be born of the Spirit. And then the second thing, the second step in this process, the second step in this work is this. We're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. So after his resurrection, Jesus gave his disciples, he appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, showed them that he was alive, it took a few of them, they had to be convinced. Thomas, he had to say, look, Put your hand in here and feel. This is where they stuck the spear in my side. This is where they drove the nails in my hands. I'm alive. It's the same. It's me. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. I've got flesh and bone. All right. So he appears to them, and then he gives them what we call the Great Commission. He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, because everyone who believes that I died on the cross and was raised from the dead, they'll be saved." And this is God's plan to bring salvation to and forgiveness of sin to all mankind. So I want you to go and tell everybody what I've done. And tell them that it was for them. That when I died on the cross, I was bearing their sins. Hallelujah. I was paying the price for their sins. And when I was raised from the dead, I guaranteed the fact that if they'll call on me, they can be saved. So go and tell them. And they said, all right, we got it. Let's go. And he said, wait, don't go just yet. Before you go, there's something you need. In Acts 1 verse 4, he says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Amen. And so he said, in order for you to be effective in going and being a witness and going and telling the world what I've done for you, you need to be filled with, baptized with, interchangeable term, filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. This is what we're talking about, life in the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit and we are to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right. And then he tells them in verse 8 of Acts 1, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So they did what Jesus commanded them. They waited in Jerusalem. They didn't have to wait long. It was 10 days after he spoke to them. He ascended back into heaven. After 40 days, he appeared to them at different times over that 40-day period after his resurrection. Then they go back to Jerusalem. He ascends back into heaven. They wait 10 more days in prayer in the upper room. And then the Holy Spirit comes. In Acts 2 verse 4 says, "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit." Everybody say, filled with the Holy Spirit. "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so we find as we read through the book of Acts then, so they receive this experience, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they speak with tongues, and they begin, from that day, Peter goes out, they go out of the upper room, Peter preaches, 3,000 are saved, people start getting saved, there are miracles, all of this because these disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And so not only did they say, oh, good, this is for us, this is for the 120 that were there in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, but they understood that this was for every believer as well. Everyone that they preached to about Jesus, they also told them about the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we see an example of that in Acts chapter 19 in verse 1. We could look at many others in the book of Acts. We'll look at this one. In Acts 19 verse 1, it says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?'" Notice his first question to them was about the Holy Spirit. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, he's under the assumption, because it says he found disciples, he thought they were saved already. He thought they'd believed on Jesus already. And so he says, well, if you've believed on Jesus, if you've been born of the Spirit, we want to make sure that you're filled with the Spirit. Amen. Amen. And so he asked him, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, here's a side thought. If you receive all the Holy Spirit that there is to receive when you get saved, then this question doesn't make any sense. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? If we got all the Holy Spirit there was to get when we got saved, then that question doesn't make any sense. That's a moot point, right? But his question was valid, because being filled with the Holy Spirit is a subsequent experience to salvation. It's a further work of the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit, but we need to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so he asked him about that. Then he finds out they're not even saved yet. So they had only heard about the baptism of John, and they didn't know Jesus had come. So he explains further to them. And then verse 5 says, "And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." And everybody say, and. That means something else happened, right? So they get saved, they're baptized, all right, so they're born of the Spirit. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Praise God. So not only are these folks in Ephesus born of the Spirit, but now they're filled with the Spirit. The Bible tells us there in the next verse that there was about 12 of them there that day. Well, the church at Ephesus began to grow. And later, Paul writes a letter to them that we know as the book of Ephesians. All right. The church at Ephesus, the people of Ephesus were called Ephesians. Right. Just like we're citizens of Georgia, we're called Georgians, I guess. Right. OK. All right. Some places you're called an ite. I'm glad I'm not called an ite. You know, as one preacher said, like the Canaanites, the Amorites and the mosquito bites. So. Anyway, the Ephesians, he wrote a letter back to them. And in Ephesians 5:18, he says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but what? Be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. So we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every believer, every follower of Jesus is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is a one-time initial experience after salvation of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But notice, Paul laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit there in Acts 19. Later he writes to them and says, be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? It means we need to be continually filled. There is an initial experience, but then there's a continual filling that we're to live in and that we're to experience. Amen? We do that through worship. We do that through our fellowship with God. We do that through prayer. We're to stay filled with the Spirit. Amen. Why do we need to be filled? Well, like D.L. Moody says, because we leak. Amen. We leak. We need to get filled up again because we leak. Amen. All right. Praise God. So that's number two. We're to be filled with the Spirit. And then number three is this. We can and we should pray in the Spirit. We're talking about life in the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. And if we're born of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit, then we ought to pray in the Spirit. Amen? So when these believers were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 and Acts 19 and other places in the book of Acts, they began to speak with tongues. We know we call that the initial evidence. When a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, then by the utterance that the Holy Spirit gives, and that person can speak with tongues. And that's we call that the initial evidence that you've received the Holy Spirit. But they understood that speaking in tongues was not just a sign that God used on the day of Pentecost and not just the initial evidence, but it was a powerful way to pray. Amen? And we need to understand that and rediscover that maybe today. And so Paul again writes to those believers in Ephesus, and he tells them this in Ephesians 6 and verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we're to pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, again, Dad Hagin talked about when he was grew up in a certain denomination that didn't preach these things, but he got saved. He was still part of that group when he first got saved. So he thought and he understood, and others told him that praying in the Spirit means just to pray with a little more oomph, with a little more spizzarinctum, with a little more, we got Spirit. Yes, we do. We got Spirit. How about you? Just to kind of hype yourself up. But is that really what it means to pray in the Spirit? Does it mean just to pray a little louder or shout a little more? Or is there something more? Well, there's something more to that. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14, and starting in verse 14, he says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. When he's talking about praying in other tongues, he says, when I do that, my spirit is praying. So what am I? In fact, the Amplified Bible there says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me. My spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. So when we pray in tongues, we are praying in the Spirit. Our spirit is praying by the Holy Spirit within us, giving us utterance, empowering us to pray that way. Amen. So when he says pray in the Spirit, one thing he's talking about is praying in tongues. And again, praying in tongues is not just a sign that God gave on the day of Pentecost. Praying in tongues is not just the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues is the way that we ought to, as believers, pray every day. That's how we maintain our life in the Spirit. Amen. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What does that mean? It means my mind doesn't understand what I'm praying. And sometimes your mind will fight you. Do you understand what you're saying? You're not really praying. You're just making that up. Anybody ever heard those thoughts? That's your mind saying that because your mind's on the outside and can't get in on the party. Why don't they let me in there? I think they're making that up. Your understanding is unfruitful. Your mind's not supposed to get in on that.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? You're praying out of your spirit. Why? Because you're born of the Spirit. And you're filled with the Spirit. And your life is in the Spirit. And there's a life in the Spirit that we tap into.
Yeah.
When we do that. Yeah. That most of us, sadly to say, don't tap into often enough. Amen. What is the conclusion then? Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit. See, you know, you don't have to wait until some feeling hits you, until some special inspiration comes upon you. You can, as an act of your will, pray with the Spirit. As an act of your will, you can pray in other tongues. The Holy Spirit's always turned on. He's always ready to give you utterance. Hallelujah. Amen. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. Yeah, that's scriptural to do. Of course we pray with our understanding. What does that mean? That means my natural mind. There are things that we know to pray from the Word, knowing the will of God from the Word of God. We can pray with our understanding. There's prayers that are written out to us in the Bible that Paul prayed for the churches, the Ephesian church, the Colossian church, the Philippian church, the church in Thessalonia. We can pray those prayers. We can pray with our understanding according to the will of God. And we should. But then Paul also tells us there are times where we know not for what to pray as we ought in Romans chapter 8. That's when we can rely on the Holy Spirit. That's when we can say, Lord, I don't know what to pray for as I ought about this situation. I've prayed as best I know how with my understanding, but I just sense that there needs to be more prayed out here. So I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit to give me utterance now, and we can begin to pray in other tongues about that matter. Amen. I'll pray both ways. And then he says, I'll sing with the Spirit. I'll sing with the Spirit. And I will also sing with the understanding. You know, you can sing, you can worship both ways. Amen. We can worship God. Every one of us ought to be bilingual. At least. Amen. We ought to pray with our understanding, whether in our known language, and pray in tongues. We ought to sing and praise God in our known language, songs of praise and worship to Him, but then sing in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Jude writes this in the book of Jude, verse 20. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. How, Jude? Praying in the Holy Spirit. So praying in the Holy Spirit does what? It builds us up in our faith. Hallelujah. It builds us up in our faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit does that. Now, I do want to add this. When he says back in Ephesians, he says, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, it literally means being led by the Spirit. So there's an extra part here that, yes, praying in the Spirit means praying in tongues, but you can also, as you're praying, and I recommend it, this will seem the way it seems to work best for me, as I begin to pray in other tongues, well, then sometimes I begin to get revelation. And you may call it, and it may be that you're interpreting your prayer. Sometimes we do that. It's not always necessary to interpret everything that you pray in tongues, to interpret it in your known language. But sometimes as you're praying, you may get, the Holy Spirit may bring scriptures or may bring phrases to you in your known language that you would pray out or that you would speak out. You're praying being led by the Spirit. That's the full scope of praying in the Spirit. From Ephesians 6:18. All right, so we access that, we tap into that by praying with other tongues. The more you do that, then the more proficient, the more easier it'll be to yield to the Holy Spirit to pray out things with your understanding as well. Amen. And that's a powerful way to pray, and God wants all of us to be able to do that. I've shared this with the group on Wednesday night, I think, but Do y'all remember the Keatons, Larry and Angela Keaton, that ministered? They've ministered the last 2 or 3 years here. They're coming back again in October to minister, and they were telling me that they were their friends with a pastor in Texas that knew Mom and Dad Goodwin. Mom and Dad Goodwin were pastors in Texas, in East Texas, many years ago, and brother, they would be. Some of the characters in Brother Hagin's stories sometimes. So they were, he said he didn't know, he said he, there was no other couple that flowed in the Holy Spirit, that flowed in the gifts of the Spirit better and more proficiently than Mom and Dad Goodwin. And so this pastor that the Keatons know asked them about that one time. He said, what is your secret? How are you able to be so proficient in flowing with the Holy Spirit and having the gifts of the Spirit manifested in your life? And he said, without thinking, without hesitation, Mom Goodwin said, pray in tongues an hour a day. Pray in tongues an hour a day. And that was their secret But when you do that, you're working with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4 says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So if you're praying in tongues, you're working with the Holy Spirit. He's giving you the utterance, you're doing the speaking. He's giving the utterance, you're doing the speaking. Well, once you get to know Him that way and work with Him that way, then He can begin to give you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, the gift of faith, different manifestations. Why? Because you've learned to recognize Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He had to correct some excesses about their speaking in tongues. But he also said this. He said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Didn't he? You remember reading that? Amen. He did. Amen. Here's what Dad Hagen wrote in his book, Following God's Plan for Your Life. And JJ, come on back up if you would and begin to play. It's so important to learn to wait before the Lord and pray out the mystery of God's plan for our lives. One way we can do that is to pray in other tongues. The Bible says when we pray in tongues, we are praying mysteries to God. And he quotes 1 Corinthians 14:2, which I'll read. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. See, when you're praying in tongues, you're not talking to you anyway. So don't worry if you don't understand what you're saying. You're not talking to you. You're a man, you're a woman, right? You're a human being. You're not talking to you. You're talking to God. And He understands it perfectly. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit, or however, in the Spirit. Where? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. He speaks mysteries. Moffat's translation says we are praying divine secrets in the Spirit. You couple that with what Paul said, and Paul said we know not for what to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit helps us. So when we're praying in tongues, we're praying out mysteries. We're praying out divine secrets. We're praying out God's plans for our life. See, God's plan. The Bible says in Psalm 33 that the Lord, it says, the plans of His heart are to all generations. You know that means God has plans for this generation. But you know those plans that He has for this generation have to come out of His heart and into the earth. And you know how that happens? It happens when believers yield to the Holy Spirit and begin to pray out those mysteries and begin to pray out those divine secrets and those divine plans. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin went on to say this. He said, many of the bad things that happened to us are the good things that should have happened but didn't, are a result of our failing in the past to pray out God's plan. You see, God has planned many things for us in the future that as we pray in the Spirit, we will be praying out ahead of time. We can pray in the Spirit, both in tongues and in our native language, when we pray by the unction of the Holy Spirit, like we talked about earlier. In fact, what is happening in your life in the present, whether good or bad, is a result of what you have or have not prayed out in days gone by. And what will happen in your life in the future will be a result of your present prayer life. Now, of course, we know there's other factors in there, such as our confession and our faith as well. But that's a powerful statement. Many of the bad things that happened to us, in other words, he's saying some of those things could have been prevented. We could have prayed them out. Hallelujah. So how important is it? Well, I don't have time. Well, it's important to make time. I set the bar high when I threw that out, what Mom Goodwin said, pray in tongues an hour a day. That might be high for some of you. If that's too high, start with 30 minutes. Start with 15 minutes. Well, if I can't pray an hour a day in tongues, I just won't do it at all. Don't adopt that attitude. Start with 5 minutes. Start with 15. I've told you before, my kids, when I would take them to school in the morning, driving them to school when they were younger, and they went to private school, so I had to drive them to school. They didn't ride the bus. And so we would put on the armor of God, our ritual every morning. We'd put on the armor of God, and then we'd pray in tongues for 2 minutes. I'd look at the clock. Okay, guys, let's pray in tongues for 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes. And they would do it. Okay, Dad. Are you doing it? I can't hear you. I'd be, I can't hear you. You know, I'd make sure they were doing it. And one day my daughter said, Dad, you know, we got through praying in that way. And my daughter, she's in, I think a freshman in high school by that time, probably the eighth grade. And she said, Dad, because we dropped off Wesley first and dropped her off at her school. She said, Dad, I understood some things. She'd already had a lot of Spanish. I understood some things that you prayed out there in that 2 minutes. I didn't know Spanish and don't know much Spanish now. But she said, you prayed out thankfulness. And then you prayed out this phrase, more hands. And then you prayed this out, that dies. In 2 minutes, I believe angels were being summoned to the scene to bring more hands to help in a situation. I believe something that the devil had plotted to do, a plan of the enemy, died that day. Hallelujah. Just in 2 minutes, think of what you can do in the Spirit. And see, we're called to this. We're called to live in the Spirit. And that means to be born of the Spirit. That means to be filled with the Spirit, and that means to pray in the Spirit. And I'm so glad I made this a two-part message, because I didn't even get to the last part of what I was going to talk about today. So we'll add that to what I've already planned to talk about next week and get the rest of this in. But let's do this. Amen? Let's be doers of the Word. Let's live in the Spirit. We began in the Spirit. Let's keep going that way. Let's keep going that way. Amen? Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you. Oh, we praise you today, Father. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your Word. Your Word is good. Your Word brings life and light to us. And we receive it today. We thank you for it. Father, I pray if there's anyone here in this service or anyone joining us on YouTube that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray for them right now that they would say yes to you. So while we're in an attitude of prayer with heads bowed, with eyes closed, you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. If I were to die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. If Jesus were to come back today, I'm not sure that I'd be caught up to be with Him. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm right with God. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Pastor, pray for me. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Looking all around the room. All right, I want to pray. I don't see anybody here in the auditorium. I want to pray this prayer for you joining us on YouTube. If you've never made Jesus your Lord, then just pray this prayer after me. Those in the congregation, are going to join in and pray it with us right here for you to receive Jesus as your Lord. Just pray this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and that He was raised from the dead. And through Him, I can have eternal life. So now I call on the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Make me new on the inside. Cause me to be born again. Born of the Spirit. I believe you. I trust in you. And I thank you now for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, then get in touch with us here at City on a Hill Church. We'd love to follow up with you. You can go to our website, cityonahillchurch.us, and contact us that way. We'll be glad to follow up. We'd love to follow up with you. Praise God. All right, I want to ask in here today. Since we've talked about this. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe you've been born again, you're born of the Spirit, but you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. You've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You've never spoken with tongues. And you say, I realize that's for every Christian. That's for every believer. I need that. I realize I need that. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Would you raise your hand? Pastor, pray for me. I want to be filled. I want to receive the Holy Spirit.